God, I just thank you that we can call upon your name. God, we are reminded that we belong to you, that you will keep us, you will hold us. Oh God, we thank you for in this moment you are doing just that. That we are calling on your name, some out loud and some in their spirits, God. We thank you that you hold us. Thank you that you surround us. But God, as I preach this word, I pray that you would hear us calling on your name. We thank you, Jesus, that our names are not forgotten. Know us. See us. You hear us. So God, I say, have your way. Have your way as we listen to you. Transform us and renew us by your will and by your way. All God's kids said, amen. Amen. Well, hello, everyone. I am Dani Kilgore, and I serve as a lead pastor here at Church Without Walls. And it's already been welcomed. You've already been greeted, but I want to welcome and greet you again. I'm so glad that you all chose to be with us on this day to experience more of God's presence. We are in the final day of our sermon series, The Power of Perspective, Faith Affirmations for Everyday Life. We have had the opportunity to dive into what it really means to embrace faith as our driving force on this wild journey we call life. You see, faith, not just a passive belief, it's a radical trust in the divine. It's that vibrant acknowledgement that our plans, God's plans for our lives are good. And they are filled with purpose. And with that in mind, I invite you to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. If you have your Bibles with me, with you, go ahead and grab them out. But as always, it will be listed on the screen. Jeremiah was called as a prophet to warn Israel of the severe consequences of breaking their covenant with God through idolatry and injustice. So in Jeremiah chapter 29, we will read what God is saying to them. And we're going to begin at verse 9, and then we're going to skip over to verse 11 and read through 13. So Jeremiah chapter 29, starting at verse 9, says, "They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord." And then in verse 11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Verse 13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." My sermon title today is "It's Already Done: Faith for the Future." It's already. So family, if you have not experienced this yet, let me just let you know that I can be incredibly forgetful. I often have a hard time remembering things. At the most worst times, I can remember, oh shoot, I was supposed to do X, Y, Z. And it's in those moments that I can feel a wave of panic wash over me. Especially when I remember I have unfinished tasks while I'm already exhausted and inundated with other possibilities or responsibilities. Is that just me or somebody else? They feel like that. Okay, great. I'm not alone. This kind of anxiety can really impact my productivity, leaving me feeling overwhelmed and scattered. But see, God loved me so much, and God know me. that God surrounds me with people to cover me. Like, for instance, my husband. Will has this incredible ability to sense my stress, often helping me to remember things that I need when I'm looking for them or I'm engrossed in work and I lose track of time. There are times when I'm upstairs working and I'll say, oh, no, dinner. I gotta cook dinner. And I'll run downstairs and my sous chef already got everything prepared out. Or the food's already ready, waiting for me to eat it. Him and Harper already ate. It's times like that I can really appreciate that he's already taking care of things. It's already done. On our staff, God has blessed me with other people who do that same thing with me. People like Hadassah as my admin assistant. It's like, oh, I was supposed to. I already got this on your calendar. Okay, great. Like Rochelle, our director of ministry systems. She's another example of that. I can be thinking about something and she already has a plan for it, the process. It's also in most cases even completed already. Before I can say, oh, did we? Yep, it's already sent out. It's in the email. It's just waiting on you to approve it. Like, oh, the Lord love me. He really does. It's those experiences from Will and Hadassah and Rochelle and other people that God has surrounded me that help me have a more proactive approach and calm my anxiety, helps me focus on what's important in that moment, knowing that it's already done. The future, the things that I'm thinking about, already covered. See, these experiences remind me of how God operates on a more grander scale, especially in light of Jeremiah 29:11. He assures us that he has a plan for our future, plan to prosper us and not to harm us. Plans to give us a hope and a future. God is actively working behind the scenes in our lives, laying the groundwork for the blessings and opportunities that lie ahead. He knows our needs before we realize them and surrounds us with his love, guidance, reminding us that he has everything under control. Just as I find comfort in those who support me, God, I can trust that God's plans are always for my good. They help us to navigate the uncertainties of life with faith and confidence. You see, the Israelis or the Israelites were exiled in Babylon. They were caught in a land that felt as foreign as strangers at a family reunion. They were stripped of their identity, their home, their hope. They were wrestling with despair, questioning their future, wondering if they'd ever return to the land they so loved. And yet, right there in the thick of it, God sent a word through Jeremiah, a word of promise, a promise that would echo through the ages. And when God said, I know the plans I have for you, God wasn't just whispering sweet nothings into the wind. No, God was proclaiming a divine truth. God was reminding his people that even in the darkest hour, he was still in control, still orchestrating their destiny. And family, that same assurance rings true for you and me today. See, we are a people who have faced many trials and devastations. And feeling the weight of uncertainty and the sting of disappointment feels heavy. And I remember when I was 23, freshly settled into my new apartment, driving the car that my grandfather had gifted to me when I graduated college, and working my new job. Life seemed promising. Until I faced a daunting challenge. I was laid off from that job. The job that felt like a dream job, a position where I had poured out my heart and soul, even earned the title of Employee of the Month. And they laid me off. I was like, this is my purpose. This is who I'm supposed to be. And then out of nowhere, I was thrown a curveball.
I found myself sitting at a kitchen table, paralyzed by fear and doubt. I felt lost in the wilderness. And in that moment, I turned to God. And I prayed and I sought God's guidance. I felt a nudge in my spirit that said, "Trust me, my child, I have already paved the way for you." It was a nudge that couldn't be ignored, kind of like when my mother calls me by my first, middle, and last name. So I began to take steps forward, not because I could see the path, but because I chose to trust God. And I started to substitute teach. And in that moment, I was substitute teaching as I sent out my resume to other places, hoping to get another job like I had got laid off from. I actually found a new passion and purpose. And I chose to go back to school and become a teacher. And being a teacher for me aligned perfectly with my passions, leading me to embrace the calling that was meant for me. I remembered that God had it all worked out. You know, just as the Israelites faced exile, stripped of their comforts and navigating on uncertain future, many of us have found ourselves in our own form of exile today. We may not be a foreigner in a land, but we often battle feelings of isolation and disappointment and confusion. See, the Israelites waited on God's promise, enduring hardships that tested their faith, holding on to the assurance that God had not abandoned them, even when everything around them suggested otherwise. Family, we can too find ourselves in the wilderness, grappling with our doubts and our fears. And we may question if God is really there, if his plans are still good, and if we will ever see our dreams come to fruition. The journey of faith isn't always a straight path, though. It can be a winding road filled with unexpected turns and trials. But here's the glorious news. God's promises remain steadfast. His word to the Israelites is a word for us today. When God says, "I know the plans I have for you," he is inviting us to trust in his greater purpose, believing that even in our waiting, he is working it out for our good. We have to lean into that promise. There's an invitation for us to cultivate our faith even in our wilderness experiences. But how can we hold on to hope when the present feels so heavy? I won't sugarcoat it. Life can turn on a dime, leaving us confused and on a turnaround. And just when you think you've got it all figured out, life throws a curveball. But in those moments of uncertainty, we are called to hold on the hope for the future. Even when our present feels overwhelming and devastating. So for 4 years, I proudly served as the regional ambassador for the March of Babies, sharing my personal experiences and birth stories to help raise awareness about the vital work of March of Dimes. My family and I are passionate about March of Dimes because of our story, and wanting to help support the work and raise money to improve maternal and infant health. You know, there was a time in my life when I had the heart and the dream of a big family. I envisioned laughter echoing in my home. Countless children saying, "Mommy, mommy, daddy, daddy." I wanted the whole shebang. But as life unfolded, I faced countless losses. Losses that shattered my dreams and left me grappling with heartache. You know, I watched my friends and I watched family members experience these joys in ways that felt so distant from my own pain. I couldn't help but feel envious at times of other women who seemed to glide through motherhood without the struggles that I was experiencing. It stung to see those around me thriving while I was left longing for what felt unobtainable. You know, in my heart, I felt a deep resentment toward those who were abusive toward their children. Children that I was yearning for a chance to nurture. And all my faith wavered. I found myself asking, Lord, why does it seem like everyone else is blessed with what I desire? Why am I left to carry this burden alone? It felt like I could hear God's promises ringing in my ears, but the reality of the pain was overwhelming. How could he say his plans wouldn't harm me when I was sitting in the most painful place of my life? In moments of doubt and despair, I wrestled with emotions of anger and sadness and confusion, swirling like a storm inside of me, begging God for answers. Because it's easy to question God when life doesn't go as according to our plan. But reflecting now on Jeremiah 29:9, where God warns the Israelites about those prophesying lies to them. You know, I realize I was hearing similar lies from the enemy, whispering that God's word was untrue. That he not only wouldn't fulfill his promises, but he couldn't. And family, the devil is a liar. And I had to reject those doubts. But through my journey of loss and longing, I did eventually reach a turning point. I realized that my faith didn't have to be contingent upon my circumstances or fulfillment of personal desires. As Jeremiah 29:13 reminds us that you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This verse is profound. It's a reminder of our relationship between our pursuit of God and the assurance of his presence in our life. Family, I discovered that God's promises are not limited to our understanding or our timelines, but rather when we earnestly seek God through our prayers, our struggles, even our doubts, we will find him. And we'll find him guiding us through the storms, reminding us that his plans are for our good. Numbers 23:19 reminds us that God is not a human that he should lie, nor a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? When God makes a promise to us, family, we can take it to the bank. His words are unshakable. His intentions are pure, and his love is unfailing. Even when my dreams felt dashed, God was still at work, revealing his goodness in unexpected ways. And I learned to trust in his promises, even when they were unfolding in someone else's life. Celebrating others' joys became a source of solace. It reminded me that his plans for me were still unfolding, even if they looked different from what I had envisioned. Family, I invite you to let your faith be a beacon of hope amid disappointment. Trusting God's promises, even when they seem distant, just as he assured the Israelites in their exile, he is assuring you that he has not forgotten you. He knows your name. Your journey may not align with your expectations, but it is still guided by the divine hand of God. We have to hold tight to that hope, leaning into the promise that God is actively at work even when we cannot see it. You know, as we step into this next phase of ministry, step into this next season of life with God, let your faith be your compass. Our faith propels us forward. Even when the road is rocky, in moments of doubt, we can declare with confidence, it's already done. As we reflect on the journey ahead, remember that the end of the story is not defeat, but victory. Yes, there will be trial. Yes, we will experience challenges, but Each one is a divine setup for the glorious future that God has promised us. By God's grace, we can embrace the uncertainty, trusting that His hand is guiding us toward a future filled with hope. Family, I know it's easy to hear the words of Prophet Jeremiah, but receiving them can be hard, especially when we're surrounded by chaos and despair. But let me remind you that 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it." Family, yes, He will. Somebody shout, yes, He will. This scripture beautifully encapsulates our hope and trust in God. Paul reminds us that God not only calls us to Himself, but He is also committed to fulfilling His promises in our lives. Our faith is anchored in the character of God, the one who is faithful, reliable, and true to His word. When God says He will do something, you can trust that He will follow through. In times of uncertainty, this assurance gives us the strength to keep pressing on, even when the outcome is unclear. Yes, we live in the now and not yet of our faith. We're navigating the tensions of trusting God's promises while waiting for their fullness to manifest. And this waiting period can be frustrating. But it's crucial to remember that God is actively at work. I must say it again. God is doing a work and He's shaping and guiding us as we prepare for what lies ahead. Family, Christ is our firm foundation. Our faith must rise like a mighty wave, crashing against the shores of fear and doubt. Together, we can embrace the victory that is already ours. We can walk boldly in faith, trusting in God's perfect plan. I want to invite Derek back up. You know, as we conclude this powerful series, Power of Perspective, I want us to take a moment to reflect on the richness of our journey together. You know, each of us has faced challenges that tested our resolve and made us question our faith. Yet we've learned that faith is not a passive belief. It's a vibrant, living force that propels us forward. Even when the path is rocky, even when the path does not reveal itself as we'd hope. Family, we must carry these lessons in our hearts, remembering that even in our darkest moments, God's light shines brightly through us. You know, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase." You know, we started this faith journey with Hebrews 11 that says, Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. And I ask you, how are you approaching your faith? What perspectives do you hold about faith? Is your faith glass half full or is it half empty? Are you leaning on the promises of God or are you weighed down by your doubts? You know, there's this story that I want to share, that on one Sunday morning, a frustrated individual approached their pastor and their heart was disappointment. They said, "Pastor, I just don't get it. People aren't doing their part in this church. They all around here doing everything but what is necessary. They don't have faith. I see them. And they're not taking this walk to follow Christ seriously." And the pastor listened patiently, and then said, "I have a challenge for you. I want you to go fill a glass with water and then walk around the church 3 times without spilling a drop." So the individual was confused, but they did it. And they filled the glass and began to walk, concentrating intensely on keeping their water steady. And after completing the challenge without a single spill, they returned to the pastor, chest filled with pride, said, "I did it, Pastor. Not a drop
spill.
And then that pastor smiled, said, of course you didn't spill any water, because you were focused on what was in your hands instead of what was happening around you. And when we concentrate on God's promises and the calling he has placed on our life, the distractions and chaos of this world can fade away. You can walk with confidence knowing that he's guiding your steps. You know, this story reminds us of a perspective, that perspective matters. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, when we focus on the cross, the perfecter of our faith, we gain the strength to navigate the storms of life with grace and confidence. But when we focus on everything around us, when we focus on others around us, we begin to lose faith. And some can say, I can't just wake up and have faith just like that, Pastor Danny. But the power of perspective challenges us to ask, why can't we? God, why can't I just have faith? Faith is our choice, just like it's my choice to sit in my devastation. You know, Brother Bruce reminded us last week, referencing Mark 9:24, where the father of a sick son says, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, that word belief derives from the Greek word pittis, which means not just belief, but also to entrust, to rely on God. And it begs the question, family, do we trust? Do we trust God in what God is saying? You know, as we look to the future, we are called to hold true, and we are called to have faith for what lies ahead. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. This invites us to surrender our limited view and embrace a faith that may not always make. So, family, I invite you to ask God in prayer to help us shift our perspectives of faith. Help us to be willing to trust him even in our uncertainty. And when we find it hard, we can remember that God declared that if you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with your whole heart. Family, this charge for us is to seek God with our whole heart, our whole soul, with all our life, knowing that when we do, we will find ourselves inside his perfect plan. And his perfect. It's okay to wrestle with belief. God expects it. Our choice to seek him and engage in prayer opens our hearts for his power of transformation. And as we move forward, let's focus on what God will do and can do. Let us trust him fully, knowing that our faith will not disappoint because we are in God's perfect. Amen.